questions after everything that's been sown into this church for really, you know, if we look at April, when we had the Global School of Supernatural Ministry here, and then this past month when we brought in three powerful guest speakers, and the people that we bring in, you know, really the guest speakers ever since this church started, we brought in big people. We've had Herrick Gilmore here, we've had Brian Guerin here. We bring in top-notch speakers, people that we really believe line up with what we really believe to be our call as believers individually, but also the call of this church. And what's very important to us is us understanding. You know, people have kind of not criticized, but commented that we talk a lot about identity, but our union with Christ is everything. And anything we try to do outside of understanding our union and oneness with Christ is just wood, hay, and stubble. Amen. Right? So it's really important to, you know, faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. And so it's being continuously washed with the water of the word to come into the fullness of the reality of who we are. And both, you know, especially William Wood and Chad Gonzalez, the two of them really hit that home. Like, I mean, they were pounding, you know. William taught powerfully on it. Chad, you know, spilled out like 9 hours of teaching. That we, like, when that guy left, we had like wrung him out and we just kind of slid him on the plane as he left here. So, but I mean, and William poured out as well. And of course, Ella was talking to us about the love of the Father for us. And so, you know, so many people get frustrated with their Christian walk because they don't understand that they've already been made righteous. You've already been made holy. You've already been made one with the Father, and He's done everything. He's given you everything. And now the only thing we do is to believe the truth and yield to that and let Him live in and through us. Amen. That's it. Like it's simple, but it's not easy. Right. How many of you know it's simple, but it's not easy? Right? So I just wanted to talk about, kind of revisit, you know, why we bring in the speakers we do, and just to go back to what our mission is as a church. You know, we talked about this the end of last summer. The Lord really was speaking to me about getting very clear about what the vision and mission were for this church. And then, you know, we presented that to you in the fall of last year. We went back over it in January when we did our Vision Sunday. And just if you remember, this year is the year of empowerment. We really felt like the Lord was saying this was the year of empowerment. So we brought Global School of Supernatural Ministry in to teach us the practicals of how to do ministry. And if you remember, they taught us, let me just go back to the mission. So the mission is, we believe we owe the world an encounter with God. We could just put a period on the end of that, really. But we clarified a little bit more. We will create and sustain a church culture that honors God, His word, His spirit, and His people. We will equip the saints to know Him deeply. That's first and foremost. Fulfill their purpose in Him, demonstrate the reality of the kingdom of God to the world, and live to reveal Him, because that's what we're called to, right? And so the purpose, so when we bring in guest speakers, when we brought in the Global School of Supernatural Ministry, that was all a part of equipping the saints. But I mean, we do that regularly in church. I mean, hopefully you're being equipped when I'm teaching and we have other teachers here, just the regular course of our church. But we brought in guest speakers again that lined up with that. So if you remember, Global School of Supernatural Ministry taught us about the 5-step prayer model. Of so being able to pray for the sick. So that was to empower all of us to be able to go out and start praying, okay, for people. We did the words, they taught on words of knowledge. We kind of continued that in the Translating God class that we did in the mornings, just learning how to hear God's voice and give prophetic words and words of knowledge and things like that. So again, that was part of equipping you. We did outreach, and there were several people here. When you did outreach, you touched people and people were impacted because we went outside the four walls. That's part of our, that was to show that that just can be a part of our daily life, okay? we did emotional healing and deliverance. Those are two areas that we need to learn more in, and we have actually 4 people in our church who are going through training. Well, I'm one of them, but there's 4 people going through training in our church to learn more about emotional healing and deliverance. And so that's an area that we are weaker in, but we're going to get stronger in. Amen. And then prophetic protocol, impartation, and then the message they gave was laying down our lives for Christ. Of course, then we had William Wood, Ella Onokoye, and Chad Gonzalez. So all of these people were sowing in because the point is to empower all of us in greater ways to be able to walk in the fullness of who we are in Christ. Because we're called not only to manifest his character, which is crucial, we are called to manifest his power.
Amen.
Right? We are called to lay hands on the sick and they should recover. That's what the word tells us. That's not for somebody who stands behind the pulpit or the big prophet or the apostle or someone has a YouTube. It's for every ordinary Christian believer. That's what we're all called to. And so it's us being more and more empowered in that. However, the only way it works is if we step out and try it. That's it. I have a testimony. I was in my early, my time with the Lord the other morning. He was speaking to me and he said to me, I had a mammogram appointment. And he said to me, I want you to speak to the woman who does that, for you before you leave her. So I went to the appointment and then I knew she was a believer just by the way she was carrying herself and stuff. So I said to her after we were done, I said to her, I feel like the Lord wants me to pray for you. Is there anything I can pray for you about? And she hesitated for a minute and then she said, oh yes. And she said, my hands. And so she took her gloves off. She took a brace off and she showed this, there was a scar and she goes, I guess it's sometimes, she didn't say carpal tunnel, but I assumed it was some kind of carpal tunnel that she was dealing with her hands. And so she was, she said, they've still really hurt and I have a long commute to work. And so she was going on and on. I said, well, I believe the Lord wants to heal you because he told me to pray for you today. So I prayed for her and I said, okay, so test it out and see how they're working. And she says, they're working. The pain's gone. And then she said, but my trigger finger is still here. So I said, well, let's pray for your trigger finger. So I prayed for a trigger finger. And she was like, oh my gosh, I can tell, my pain's gone. So praise God, right? But it was just a part, praise God, right? But that's just a part of ordinary life. It wasn't me having to go on a special church outreach and have a dozen of us all coordinated and signed up and all that other stuff. It was just a part of everyday life. And it was just listening to the Lord in the morning. And he said, when you go to the appointment, pray for this woman. And then she started really unburdening her heart to me. She started sharing with me about her family situation, all the other things. So I really ministered to her. And as I left, I could hear her in the room and she was praising God. I'm walking down the hall. She's like, thank you, Jesus. Jesus, praising the Lord, right? But that's the ordinary Christian life. It's just as you go. So praise God. So today, I really felt as I was just investing time with the Lord. I don't like saying spending time because spending means depleted. So we invest time with the Lord. So as I was investing time with the Lord, I was listening to one of William Wood's teachings and taking notes on it. And the Lord just, I kept hearing stewardship. So what I really felt he was saying is, I just got this picture of this big, huge dump truck backed up to our church, and it was filled with gold, and it dumped the whole thing in our church, and it drove away, and the Lord's like, what are you going to do with what's been given? How are you going to steward? Because we have had, the teaching that we received, what was imparted into this church by Global School of Supernatural Ministry, William, Ella, and Chad, was gold. But he's deposited this. What are we going to do with it? What are we going to do with it? So I want to go into, we're going to go into Mark chapter 4. And just talk about the sower sows the word and stewarding the word well so that it can bear fruit. Because how many of you would like to bear fruit in your life? How many would like to bear hundredfold fruit? Amen? Amen. Well, there's a journey in that process. and we'll see it. It's going to talk about in Mark chapter 4. So Mark chapter 4, well, in verse 1, it says, and again Jesus began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables and said to them in his teaching, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Now, is Jesus asking if people have physical ears? No, right? So he who has ears to hear, let him hear. What is Jesus saying? He's saying, listen, this word hearing isn't just about physical hearing. It's about hear the message. And if you take that farther, the word obedience is actually means hearing and allowing it to influence you. So that's what he's saying. He who has ears to hear, now the word obedience isn't in here, but I'm just saying if you take it farther, he who has ears to hear, let this message have influence over you, okay? Hear the message, not more than just the sounds, okay? So he goes on verse 10, it says, when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. So this isn't just the 12 disciples. There were other people that were with him as well. And I think this is interesting because he's going to go on. He's going to go ahead and open this up to them. But just it's just important to know that with Jesus, if he says something you don't understand, you can come to him and he will explain it. Okay? Because there was the 12, but there were other people besides the 12 who came to him and said, "Can we explain this parable to us? We don't understand it." Jesus is good. And whenever we don't understand, we take the time to come and he will explain. Amen. Verse 11, he said to them, "To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, all things come in parables." So we need to understand that, and we've seen this as we've been going verse by verse through Ephesians, it keeps talking about the mysteries in Ephesians. I think the word mystery is mentioned 4 or 5 times just in the book of Ephesians. And so it has been given to us as new creations, as New Testament believers. It has been given to us to know the mysteries. God is not hiding them from us. They were concealed, so to speak, in the Old Testament to some degree, but we as believers are to understand the mysteries. God, and you need God to reveal them to you, but he has them open and he wants all of us to understand the fullness of the kingdom of God and the reality of who we are. He's not hiding that from us, he's hiding it for us, okay? So it's important. So he says, it's been given to you know the mysteries, but to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. What's he talking about? He's talking about people who are hard-hearted, right? They don't have an inclination towards the Lord. And so the parables, they can't understand because they don't have eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to understand. Okay? So verse 13, he says, and he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables?" This is another time where the translation really loses things because it's the two different words are translated understand in this verse. Okay, the first understand means to you not like begin to perceive. Okay, so do you not even begin to perceive this parable? How then will you understand or fully comprehend all of the parables? So he's saying you're not even having a glimpse into this, even a perception of it. How then will you understand all the parables? So we understand that this parable is very important to understand in our walk with the Lord. Okay, it's very key. So verse 14, he says, the sower sows the word. So in the parable, the sower is the one sowing the word. This word here is logos, so it's talking about the word of God. And what's happened with the 4 different guest speakers and teams we brought in, they all sowed the word. So they came into the church and they were sowers. And they knew the word, and they're walking to some degree in victory in that, and they took that word and they scattered it here. You know, they're walking along a path in a field. They're walking down a path and they're sowing word. And we were there. We're the soil, and they're receiving the word. Our hearts are the soil, but they're sowing the word, and that was what was sowed into this church. Okay. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. So again, if you see this by the wayside, it's talking about someone who's walking down a field by the wayside. They're scattering seed. The word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately, right, and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. If you go to Matthew 13, it has the same parable as talked about. And what it says in Matthew 13 is when the word is sown and it's not understood, it's when Satan comes and takes it out of your heart, okay? So what we need to understand here is Satan's after the word. That's what he wants to steal. And the fact that what limits us, in, like I said, based on Matthew 13, is if we don't understand it. So that's one of the reasons why, like, for example, when I teach, I try to take time to go verse by verse. I want you to understand the meaning behind the words, because the more we can put effort into understanding it, the greater our odds that the enemy won't be able to steal it. Amen. That's also the benefit of a book. Like if you're reading the word and you're having a challenge to find somebody who's maybe written a book that has good understanding of it, right? That will help you understand, because the better you understand, the less opportunity the enemy will have to steal it from you. So it's important to meditate on the word, have the Holy Spirit teach you if you need a commentary or a book that helps. But we need, if you look at the speakers, right? William had Every Day of Victory, very good book, very practical application of how to walk in who we are in Christ, okay? William had books, and Chad had books, Global School of Supernatural Ministry had books, Ella had books. All of those would help us, if we don't understand, to have a deeper understanding of what was taught. But most importantly, to sit with the word and let the Holy Spirit teach you, amen? Amen. Amen. But we can always learn from one another. Yeah. We can always learn from one another. Okay, so they hear the Satan comes immediately, takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Again, we know the issue is understanding. Verse 16, these likewise are ones sown on stony ground, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. Now, this word receive doesn't mean passive. It means to actively take and possess, okay? So they're sown on stony ground, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. So this is the place where, remember when you first got born again and you first heard you can lay hands on the sick and they will recover, and you hear that God loves you, he wants to have a deep and intimate relationship with you, he's going to take care of you, he's going to walk with you, he's going to provide for you, he's, you know, you have his favor upon your life and all that, and then you get fired, the dog dies, and you lay hands on somebody and they don't recover, and you're just like, wait a second, this was a really good thing. What happened? I must have gotten the Kmart version. I don't know. What happened? Right? Right? Anyone remember that? Okay. Okay. So that's what happens. Like, you're all excited, right? They hear you, receive it immediately with gladness, right? But what's happened? There's no root in themselves. There's no root in themselves. And so they endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises, for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. So what is this? So this is the picture I kind of get of this, is that, okay, that we know the word, right? The ground is our heart. Okay, it's our heart. This, we're talking about the conditions of the heart. And so the word is being sown, and our, you need to understand that our ears are connected directly to our heart. And what you're hearing goes into your heart. And so we hear the word. However, if our heart still has beliefs about who you are. Like you spent a lifetime before you came to Christ of people trying to define you based on your circumstances and your status and what you did right and what you did wrong. And so all of those things, the enemy has tried to mold your heart based on your life, so that by the time the truth comes about that you're a new creation, that you in Christ, you're a new creation in Christ and you're righteous and you're holy and you're set apart, your heart can't just receive that because you've believed that you're condemned and sinful and hateful and angry and, you know, hurt and all these other things. And so when the word comes in, it can't get deep. You know, you've been taught that, you know, it's doctors that heal people, not you laying hands on people. And not that doctors can't heal people, please, I understand. But I'm just saying, we've been taught all these things in the world, that your provision comes from your job, that, you know, that things, that life happens, and, you know, if you didn't have any luck, if you didn't have bad luck, you wouldn't have any luck at all, right? I mean, all those things have come in to take your heart and make your heart hard. And so we all get excited about the message of the gospel, but the word, the seed goes in there, and it can't, the roots can't go deep. And because of that, then what does it say? When tribulation and persecution comes, what's tribulation? Tribulation, the word actually means pressure. Anybody feel pressure in their life?
Yes.
Right? We're light and a lot of darkness. And there's pressure. And like I said, you know, I remember when Randy came home from work one day and he'd gotten let go. He lost his job. And we had just bought a house that we knew the Lord had ordained for us to buy. We had just made a house payment on it. And he comes home and he goes, "I just lost my job." And I was like, "Praise God, he's going to do something amazing." I mean, and I was sincere in that, okay? I really knew that God was going to do something amazing, and so it didn't affect me. But that was like the Lord had changed my heart enough to know that. But other situations, right? I mean, still I had to worry about money afterwards. But anyway, but I'm just saying, like, those situations when tribulation comes and pressure comes and stuff happens, when you get squeezed, we see what's in there. And sometimes it's yucky, right? That time I did okay. Other times I'm not there, believe me. But I'm just, so that's what happens is it's tribulation comes. And if, remember in Ephesians chapter 4, when it says, may Christ fully dwell in your heart, and that word fully, it just says, may Christ dwell in your heart. And I said, well, he already dwells in our heart, but that word means to fully dwell, to fully occupy, to fully have influence in our heart. And that's what has to happen, is the word is being sown in our hearts, but the lies and the circumstances and our past have tried to define it. And so the word has to come in and break up, so to speak, that hard ground, break up those rocks, break up those lies to have influence, so that when tribulation comes, the word, we don't give up the word. We stay grounded in the word, even if circumstances don't look like what we know the word tells us. We stay grounded in the word, okay? And so it says when tribulations and persecutions. Now, persecutions is when someone comes against you directly for your faith. Either they're punishing you for your faith, they're withholding things from you for your faith, they're threatening your life with because of your faith. That's persecution. And again, it's when that pressure comes, we can tell what's in our hearts. What are we trusting? What do we believe? Is my life more important than Christ to me? Okay, so that's what persecutions. And it says that they immediately stumble. Well, stumble means to, or they get offended. What does it say, stumble? Stumble means to, or can be translated offended. And what it means is that it needs to be off in our thought life or our conduct. So what happens is, again, we've heard the word, but if it hasn't taken deep root, when tribulations and persecution comes, we stumble, we don't act or think in line with the word of God. We let the circumstances speak louder to us than the word. The world speaks louder to us than the word, okay? And so the point in all that is we just had a lot of great deposit made in the church. Are we going to allow it to influence our hearts and allow it to take out the rocks and stony places so that that seed can go deep? Allow that seed to go deep, okay? Let's go on here. So let me do one thing here that I note here. Remember William Wood said that one of the things he did was he stood in front of a mirror. And he talked to himself 5 to 6 minutes every morning. He would talk to himself about who he was in Christ. What was he doing? He was getting out the stony places in his heart. Because he said at first he would talk to himself in the mirror saying, "I'm righteous, I'm holy, I'm set apart." And he couldn't look himself in the eyes. But he did that for 365 days, and now you see he understands who he is. See, this is, what was he doing? He was stewarding the word that he had been given. He was taking the word, and he was, in a practical way, applying it in his life and standing in front of a mirror and speaking to himself about who he is. You know, I wish that this was instantaneous. But the Christian life is intentional and takes effort. Jesus did it all. He did it all. However, we have to be invested in that for the transformation to take place. Okay, so verse 18. Now, these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So what is this? This is This is having a great weekend at church. You know, we're there Saturday and Sunday, and we listen to William Wood, we listen to Chad, and then we go back home and we sit in front of our TV and we just click the remote and start watching program after program after program, and we just get caught up in the world and we get caught up in just what's going on in the world. We're watching news, whatever, and all of that chokes out the word. So the word is in here, but it's what, again, your ears are connected to our hearts. And so if we're continuing to hear things that don't line up with the word, our heart gets conflicted. And eventually that will click, it will choke out the word. And what will happen is the world will speak much louder to us than the word does, because we're so caught up. Again, I mean, you know, God knows that we need to work and that we have incomes and that we have families to take care of and all of those things. However, it is possible to have our mind on those things and our heart still anchored in God. Yes. Right? And so it's, where is our heart? We can still guard our hearts even to all the things that are coming in. Can we guard our hearts to allow, to only let things come into our hearts that line up with the truth of the word of God? This is why it's so important also to have relationships with other godly people. To remind us and to encourage us. So what is our focus on? Because if we allow our focus to go off of the word for any length of time, what'll happen is thorns and thistles will grow up and it will choke out the word that has been sown in our hearts. And we become unfruitful. The word becomes unfruitful. So, but these are the ones sown on good ground. How many say, let's say good ground.
Good ground.
Good ground. I have good ground. We have good ground. Those who hear the word, accept it, which means to receive it, right? And bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100-fold. Amen? So when we take the word and we, so it, Satan's after two things. He's after the word and he's after your heart. Because if he can steal the word, if you don't understand it, that's fine. But if he can't do that, he at least wants to get your heart into a condition that even if you are hearing the word, it won't bear fruit. And so what is our stewardship? Our stewardship is to continually hear the word and to guard our hearts. So I would really say, again, you know, we recorded all of these messages for Global School of Supernatural Ministry, and the three speakers, all the messages were recorded. For Global School of Supernatural Ministry, we also sent you the PowerPoints. And so let's go on here. Let's look at this. He's verse 21. It says, he said to them, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? And my concern with this is, you know, we've received this great deposit, but are we going to just take it and put it under the bed? Are we going to say, well, that was a great weekend, and then not do anything with it? Like, everything's recorded. Like I said, I was the other day, I was listening to William Wood, and I had, you know, on my computer, and I had Word up too. So as he was talking, I'm typing. And then I pause and type some more. I mean, there was treasures. There was treasures in there. And we, you know, how much do you actually remember of what is said? A lot of times we remember the experience, and while it was a great experience, but do we remember what was actually said and how it impacted us? And so our job, again, there's a great deposit is made, but our job is to go back and listen to that multiple times, take notes, meditate on it. You know, we have audio recordings, we have video recordings. Like I said, with JSSM, you got the PowerPoint presentations as well. But our job is to meditate and not to just take it and say, that was a wonderful weekend. I'm so glad we had Chad and William and Ella, and then just push it off to the side and be like, what's next? It's important. It's important. The other thing I would say too is, don't ever come up to me and say, I already know that. Spirit of slap comes all over me. Because let me tell you, there is the most foundational thing in Christ you can hear a million times and still get something out of it. And so the minute we say, oh, I already know this, we have shut down the Holy Spirit and he can't minister anymore. We have to go to the most basic messages. And the other thing too to remember is not to get caught up in the personalities of those who's delivering things. because God will definitely bring a challenging personality to you to give you a message to see if we'll humble ourselves. Right? So don't get caught up in personalities and all that other stuff. We're listening for the voice of the Lord. And like I said, don't say, we already know that. I've already heard this. Because God is going to bring it to a deeper revelation, a deeper truth, and ground it. You know, the thing is if I already know, remember, first of all, there's different words for know in the Greek language. But if I really fully know it, then that means it should have complete and total influence in my life. And if it doesn't have complete, total influence in my life, then I don't know it. Right? And that means that there's more to be known. So we have to take this word and put it on a lampstand. We have to take this, all that's been sown, and put it in a place to allow it to continuously influence us. He says here, verse 22, there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. What is that saying? Listen, there was nothing in all that we've received that God's hiding from you. Everything that he wants you to know is in there. Like he wants you to be able to understand, comprehend, and walk in everything that was deposited. He's not trying to hide something from you. He's not keeping something from us. He wants us to be able to walk in it. And so, again, we go into it with open ears saying, God, I'm open. What do you want to teach me from this? Because I know you're not hiding mysteries from me. You're revealing mysteries to me. And I'm going to humble myself and listen to this over again, Lord, and get more out of it. Again, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Not just physical hearing, but receive the message that's being imparted. Verse 24, then he said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. This is beautiful. So the Lord's saying, listen, to the amount that we are willing to invest, and like I said, listen to things over and over again, to the measure that we're willing to invest in hearing, to that same measure, it will come back to us. So we make the investment and he will bring it back. That's really good news. So the more, Lord, that I'm willing to point myself towards your voice, the more I'm willing to listen to teachings, the more I'm willing to be in the word, the more I invest in all that, I know I have your word that it will come back to me in the same measure. Okay? So the same measure. So this is good news. This is good news. And to you who hear, more will be given. Now, the issue is, if you're not putting our ear towards good things, to that same measure, we're going to receive it back. So again, if we're sitting in front of the television, and I'm not against television, it's just being selective about what we watch. I'm not against that, but and like social media and all those things, like what are we investing in? Because it can work against you. To the same measure that you're constantly listening to the news, for example, to the same measure, it's going to come back to you. Now, that's a sad state. So, I know, William Wood, that was funny. We were taking him to the airport, I don't know, we were driving with him. I said something. He wanted to go into Target to get something. And I said, well, have you heard about Target? And he's like, no. He had no clue about the whole thing about Target and being boycotted or whatever. And I said, do you not watch this? He goes, I have no clue. He goes, my wife takes care of that. He said, he doesn't watch any of that. I've been deleting my emails lately. I'm like, I just don't want to know. Not that I don't want to know, but it's just that stuff, we can't be ignorant. But if we invest too much in it, it really unsettles my heart. And I can't afford to have my heart unsettled. I want my confidence in Christ. And I can't let all that stuff have a big voice in my life. And so to the measure that you invest in listening to something, to that same measure, it's going to come back. So therefore, we want to be careful about what we're investing our ears and our eye gates in, because it will affect our hearts. It goes, so to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have even what he has will be taken away from him. So that's a scary thought too. It's saying, listen, if we're not going to invest in hearing the Lord and in the kingdom realities, right, eventually our hearts will get hardened and we won't be able to hear.
That's
a scary thought. Listen, we're in some challenging times, and it's not important. I mean, yes, it's important to understand what's going on, but the most important thing is to know what Jesus is saying.
Right?
When he may tell you to turn right when you're about to turn left. I mean, it's really important that we know what Jesus is saying. Really important. This is verse 26. It says, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed shall sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." And this is, we're the ones now out there spreading seed. And we need to know that as we spread seed, the kingdom of God is going to bear fruit. And we're not having to constantly dig and look to make sure it's happening. Our job is to continually just sow seeds. And as we sow seeds, it will continue to grow. So what is our responsibility in all this? Like I said, we have been, a great deposit has been made here in our church. And it's, what are we going to do with it? What are we going to do with it? You know, Romans 12:1-2. Let's go back to this. It says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." That reasonable service can be translated worship. So at the first, if we're going to bear fruit, the first thing we need to do is, have we fully surrendered our lives to Christ? Does he own our lives? That's step one. But then step two is, do not be conformed or molded to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That word mind there is actually your intellect. Remember I said, God didn't give us this great intellect to talk us out of him. And so it's to take our intellect and invest in the word and allow it to change us. Allow it to change the way we think. The people that came here, the only difference between someone like Chad Gonzalez and Ella and William Wood is they just believe the word. Yeah. And they've applied it in their lives. They've committed their eye gates and their ear gates towards the word, and they've meditated on it. They have their own personal relationship with the Lord. You know, I mean, Chad was talking about how he just spent a year in the Gospel of John or whatever. I don't remember what specifically, but he had invested a lot of time in one God. I remember there was a season where the Lord had me read John and Hebrews. And so it's listening to the Lord and investing our time in the word in our own personal relationship with him. If there's an area you don't understand, yes, you can go to commentaries or a book that might be about it, somebody that you trust to help you understand. But the whole purpose is to come into understanding the word, because if we understand the word, the enemy can't steal it from us. And the more we apply it in our lives, the more it becomes our reality and the greater influence it will have. And it will become a greater witness of our reality than the natural world we live in. Watch this, Romans 8:5-7. "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh." This word minds means your thought life. Okay, so it's different from Romans 12, where it talks about renewing your intellect. Because I'm like, oh, see, because he actually says the carnal mind is enmity against God. And I'm like, God, how can it be enmity when you're telling me to renew it? Well, the carnal mind is your thought life. Okay, so your intellect is what we're renewing so that your thought life will line up with the truth of the word of God, because your intellect has been lined up with the truth of the word of God. Okay, so he says, "Those who live according to the flesh set their minds or their thought life on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the spirit, the things of the spirit." Our thought life is on that. "For to be carnally minded is death." To have your thoughts just thinking natural things and natural circumstances is death, yes. Right? "But to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Yes. That's all we were witnessing when we had these great speakers in. They're just people who are spiritually minded. And I'm not saying they're perfect, okay? They're not perfect. But they're walking in greater fruit because they've taken the word, they've embraced the word, they've renewed their mind, they've submitted to that truth, they've meditated on it, they continually develop their relationship with the Lord, they have a relationship with the word of God, they renew their minds in it, and therefore they're bearing 30, 60, 100-fold fruit in their lives. That's the only difference. It's the only difference, and it's something that every single one of us are capable of. So are we going to be spiritually minded or carnally minded? 2 Corinthians 10, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Strongholds are the hard parts, the hard parts of your heart that don't believe the word. That can be a stronghold. Okay, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So this knowledge is just it denotes a knowledge of itself chiefly to the apprehension of truth. And then Colossians 3:10, put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge. This word is full experiential knowledge. We've come into a relationship with the Lord that's full in experience, and we actually know. We know, and it's according to the image of Him who created Him. I can remember looking at that verse on the floor of my room and just like, Lord, I want that verse. If I can only have one verse in the Bible, give me that one. Put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. Renewed in knowledge. That's who we are. Jesus is our example to us of who we are as children of God. And like they were saying, like I think Chad was saying, God is not threatened by us walking in the fullness of Christ. He's so confident in who He is. He shared His image with us. And so we get to walk in that. You know, Ephesians 4 talks about us walking into the full stature of Christ. So I think it's important that we don't, you know, the Israelites, when they got the manna every morning, after a while, they were bored with it. We despise this worthless bread. We have to guard our hearts, like that we don't get, oh, well, I already know that, or I don't need to listen to that again. And again, I'm not saying it as a work, but it's as the Holy Spirit leads you to listen to things, to be open to listening to things over and over again. God's waiting on us. He's waiting on us. I think about what's going on in the earth today, and you know, the whole earth is groaning for the revelation of the sons and daughters of God. What does that groaning sound like? That groaning sounds like drug addiction. It's alcohol addiction. It's child trafficking. It's identity, gender identity confusion, right? It's workaholism. It's pursuing, it's materialism. It's depression. It's suicide. It's like, that's the whole world is groaning. That's what their groaning sounds like. It sounds like them people who are so desperate for God, and they don't realize that God's the answer, that they are feeding on all of this ungodly things to try to fill the empty place inside of them, you know? And I'm not against this. We try to, you know, put laws in place and control all this behavior. But what if we just dried up the demand for it? Like, after William Wood got saved, guess what? There was one less person buying drugs and alcohol. What if we just all, and again, you know, if we watch the news, we can get depressed because we feel powerless to be able to do anything. But God hasn't called us to change the whole world. He's just called us to change the little piece of the sphere of influence that He's given us. That's all He's asking us to do. He's like the general, right? And He has the big plan. And He's not telling us to worry about what's happening in Europe. He's just saying, can you just take care of this little area? this little area. I've got the big plan. I'm taking care of it. Can we just be faithful with the little area that he's given us? That's all he's called us to. Now, if he wants you to go to Europe, fine, he'll send you there. But I'm just saying, like, this is like our little sphere of influence is what he's called us to do. Can we just influence this area? What if we just really lived the gospel out, and so all of a sudden people in this area didn't require drugs or alcohol because they just saw, we just manifested the glory of God so powerfully that the glory is what they're looking for. Again, some of you heard this story, but Randy and I ministered to the homeless for several years, and we would do Bible studies with them, and we had a really good relationship with the guys, and we would take them to Panera Bread, and we would buy them all something to eat, and then we would sit at the table with them and take them through these lessons and stuff, and it was really wonderful. And one time, like I said, we had a really good relationship with them. It was very casual and fun, and the one guy was sitting next to me one day, and he looks at me, and he goes, "You and Randy are so cool." He said, "Do you guys smoke weed?" And I said to him, I looked at him and I said, "No, we don't." I said, "But you know what? Your desire to be high is because you were created that way. It's just you're looking for the wrong, you're looking for God and you go into substance." And he was just like, "Wow, that's really profound." But I just didn't want to, I wanted to normalize, like, his desire to get high isn't bad. He just needs the Holy Ghost. Yeah, right? Right? Like, I didn't want to shame him and, "Oh, you're awful. I can't believe you've ever said that." No, what you're looking for is real. Like, there's something in you that knows there's more. Like, that desire isn't wrong. I'm not going to quell your desire and tell you you're ungodly and sinful. I'm going to tell you your desire is right. You're just looking to the wrong source to fill it. Because that's the problem. Why are children trying to change and mutilate their bodies? What are they? They're looking for God. And they just think if they can change something, something will change. No, it's the inside that needs to be changed. And what they're looking for is Jesus. And it's just like William Wood said, right? He was 18 years old and no one had ever told him about Jesus. Jesus had to show up in his hospital room because nobody else had told him. And that, I mean, that falls on all of us. That falls on all of us. There's people who are desperate. They're desperate. And people who look like they have it most together probably don't. But we're the ones. And I just think to really, like I said, laws are fine, but really what we're called to is to dry up the desire for those things so that there's no one's buying drugs. No one's buying alcohol. No one's buying any of those things because they found Jesus. They found Jesus. Anyway, so these people that we had here, right, they knew the word was true. They're walking in the kingdom reality. And our destiny is only, and remember what William Wood said, he realized that he was the only obstacle to his destiny in Christ. Like I said, that's good news and bad news. Yay, I think. But we're the only obstacle. Jesus has given it all. And we have the opportunity to walk in the fullness of what he's called us to. But responsibility sometimes feels like heavy, but the privilege of that rests in us. That's in us. Amen? Amen. So Lord, we just thank you so much for all that you deposited. We honor the deposit of gold that you deposited in this church. And Lord, we're not going to esteem it lowly, but we're going to esteem it high. Lord, we're going to take it and put it on the lampstand. We're not going to shove it under the bed. We're not going to say, "I already know that. I've already heard that." But Lord, we will, as you lead us by your Spirit, Lord, we will continue to wash ourselves with the water of the word, Lord. We thank you for these great people of God that came here. We honor them. We honor you, Lord, and we honor the word you've given us. And we, Lord, we commit to treasure it, to honor it, and allow it to be sown in our hearts, so that we can walk in the fullness of what you paid for in your glory. Amen. Amen.